Hello, Oasis family, and for those of you that are joining with us on our journey, we're so pleased that you're connecting with us and journeying with us on this, what is really a bit of an adventure. Today, we are continuing on our journey to shape our future and to establish our Oasis family culture around discipleship. If you weren't able to hear last week's message, it'd be great if you could do that as soon as possible after this, because they're linking very closely together. Last week we looked at one of the values, one of the four values that we're going to be looking at over the next 6 weeks. The first value was worship, and we said that worship is an all-embracing lifestyle, much more than simply what we do at a church service. Our Oasis family, our visions and our values are based around a scripture that we find in the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark and Luke, third book in the New Testament, chapter 10 and verse 27. And let's just remind ourselves what that scripture is all about. It says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. We've talked about our strapline for our church, which is loving God, loving others, loving ourselves. Last week we focused on the first of the values, which is worship, and today and next week we're going to be looking at our second value, which is prayer, and it's all about our relationship, again, with loving God. It's our upward relationship with God. Loving the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and with all your soul. And today, we're going to focus on the value of prayer. We have defined prayer as this: prayer is an act of worship that glorifies God and reinforces our need for him. Bringing ourselves before God, bringing before him the needs of others, being in communion with him always and in all things. And I know that's quite long for us to remember, but let's just say it again, and it will be in the notes that you can have following this sermon. Prayer is an act of worship that glorifies God and reinforces our need for him. Bringing ourselves before God, bringing before him the needs of others, being in communion with him always and in all things. So last week we started by looking in the Gospel of Mark, which is the second book in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, in the story where Jesus calls his first disciples. Come, follow me, Jesus said. And we explained then that what Jesus was doing is he was extending to them a personal invitation to these fishermen to walk with him, to do life together, to experience a personal relationship with him. And both the values of worship we looked at last week and prayer that we'll be looking at over the next 2 weeks are in essence about us walking with Jesus. So when Jesus invited us to walk with him, he did so for us to walk daily with him so that he can be part of our everyday life 24/7. And during that time, it's a time for us to learn to know and understand what it means to be a disciple of his and to experience a personal relationship with him. We said last week that God designed and created us to be in relationship with him. The upward relationship with God the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit includes absolutely everything we do in life 24/7. So let's look at the value of prayer. And let's look at the life of Jesus to understand this value. Prayer was central to the life of Jesus. If we study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, we will find that prayer was central to the life of Jesus. And in it, Jesus revealed his absolute dependence on God the Father for guidance, for direction, for provision, and the power to carry out his earthly ministry. So prayer was prominent in the life of Jesus. You can study those scriptures for yourselves and many others, but let's just look at three. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35, this is what it says. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verse 16. So he himself, that is Jesus, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So we need to understand that prayer was the source of Jesus's spiritual vitality and energy, the source of his spiritual insight and understanding, his spiritual passion, his power, his patience, his kindness, his compassion, his peace, his calm, and his confidence. And the list goes on and on. And friends, if Jesus needed to pray, then so do we. How much more do we need to pray? The disciples we know spent a fair amount of time with Jesus. And as they spent time with Jesus, they saw firsthand Jesus' amazing prayer life. And because of it, they ask a simple question, five words, Lord, teach us to pray. As they closely observed Jesus, they understood that the key to everything Jesus did was connected to his prayer life and his relationship to God. They began to understand this interconnection between Jesus' life and ministry and Jesus' prayer life together. How you and I grow as a disciple is linked to our prayer life. I want to encourage you today. If there's one thing I want to encourage you to do today is this. Develop a deeper lifestyle of prayer. Pray at any time, pray at all times. Now, wherever you are right now, if you've got people in the room with you, I want you to speak this out. If you're on your own, I want you to speak it out and declare it to the people around you or for yourself. So say after me, develop a deeper lifestyle of prayer. Pray at any time. Pray at all times. So what I want to encourage you to do today. So in response to the disciples' request, Lord, teach us to pray, Jesus replied with what we know today as what we call the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus masterfully teaches the disciples about prayer. Jesus wonderfully, masterfully gives these disciples so much more than they've asked for, which is what Jesus does. If you know Jesus, he'll give you so much more than whatever you ask for. And Jesus here leads his disciples so that they may understand what it means about prayer. So let's look in the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark and Luke, third Gospel in the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 2 to 4, for what we know as the Lord's Prayer. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So today we're going to be looking at the first part of the Lord's Prayer, which is when Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The rest of the Lord's Prayer we'll be looking at in detail next week This week we're going to be doing something very important right in the middle of this sermon. I'm going to invite Esther to come in and share with, in a minute with that, explain what we're going to do there. But today we're just focusing on this. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. So Jesus starts his teaching by teaching the disciples and therefore teaching us to address God as our Father. Now, as you study the New Testament and you look at the New Testament, Jesus addresses his Father. Most of the time, he addresses his Father to people as our Father. So he says to the disciples, not only is my Father, he's your Father also. You'll only find on one other occasion, I think, in the whole of the Gospels, where Jesus addresses his Father as my Father, this personal thing, my Father. And that is when Jesus was facing in the Garden of Gethsemane, that time when he was going to face death. He knew what was ahead of him. And at that particular point in one of the Gospels, Jesus says, my Father. But for the rest of the time, he addresses his Heavenly Father as our Heavenly Father. And he's introducing the disciples to the Heavenly Father being his Heavenly Father and their Heavenly Father. But note this, Jesus said, when you pray, not if you pray. Jesus made the statement that being a disciple of his meant that they would pray. It was a done deal. Prayer is part of our all-embracing lifestyle. The starting point of prayer and the whole point of prayer is to develop and sustain our personal relationship with God the Father. This is why Jesus left heaven and he came to this earth to restore the personal loving relationship between God and man. The whole purpose of our prayer life is built on the basis of us living as a child of God and seeing God as our loving Heavenly Father. The quality of our prayer life is not the words we use when we pray. It is the quality of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And when we have a healthy view of ourselves as a child of God, and a healthy view of God as a loving Heavenly Father, we can experience a wonderful prayer life. But this is where some people at times can have difficulties and struggle in prayer. So let me explain a little bit more about that. Sometimes, I'm going to use the word sometimes, people can have a distorted view of God, of a loving Heavenly Father. It's a healthy view that's been spoiled and ruined by an unhealthy relationship with their own earthly father. And so they bring into that relationship with the God all the wounds and painful experiences they carry with their earthly father. Their attitude towards God as their Heavenly Father is tainted by feelings such as fear, or anger, or resentment, or mistrust, or disappointment, and insecurity rising from the relationship with their earthly father. Maybe intimacy with their earthly father was not there. Maybe it was inappropriate. Maybe it was undesirable. Or maybe it was impossible. So the very idea of intimacy with God as Father in prayer for some, it's intimidating, it's uncomfortable. And it can be far more comfortable if we just keep busy working for God, just doing things for God, just serving other people, just attending church meetings, rather than have this intimate relationship with prayer. The reverse, of course, is also true. Some people find it easy to relate to God as a loving, kind, compassionate, patient, interesting father who is cheering them on. But whether we have this tainted point of view or this great point of view of who God the Father is, each of us, there is so much more for us today on our journey and our discipleship journey as we learn to pray and as we deepen our prayer relationship. I'll ask Esther now to come and pray at this point in time, and we're going to sort of focus in a minute on people that really have struggled with their own earthly father. I believe that this is a time now that we are going to allow the Holy Spirit just to come and to minister into your life. This is a time for you. This is a divine appointment where God is going to meet you where you are right now, in your living room, wherever you're watching this. That God wants to come and minister by his Holy Spirit into your life and do something amazing on this part of your journey to minister into your life. And even if you have a great relationship with your God, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit just to come and take you deeper and to do something very special in your life today, in this season of your life, so that we all can move deeper in our relationship with our loving Father. Thank you, Esther.
You know, when I worked with the children over the years, I used to say to them, can you imagine the most perfect dad, the most perfect dad ever? And that's what God is like, but far, far more. And that was just my way of trying to help the children imagine what God the Father's like. But we need that revelation, don't we, that comes only by the Spirit of God, to really fully grasp and know and understand what God the Father is like and the relationship he so desires to have with us. Let's just pray. Father God, from the very beginning of time, you desire to have a relationship with each and every one of us, a close and intimate and loving relationship. And Father, your word tells us very clearly that you only ever give good gifts to your children. But Father, there are some people that have such a distorted view of who you are and what you're like. Lord, there's fear there, there's insecurity, there's a lack of trust. Lord, I just lift those people up to you that may be struggling today with the concept of God as a father. Lord, we know that you're not some strict headmaster or policeman in the sky, Father, but you're a gentle, loving, tender dad. And so, Lord, I just pray now that you would just break every lie of the enemy and every misconception in hearts and minds that may possibly be there of who you are that's incorrect, Father. And Lord, you would just fill your people with truth. Truth about who you are, truth about your love. That you're not a God that wants to punish us, Father. That you put all the punishment we deserved onto Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being punished in our place. Thank you, Jesus, for standing in the gap and taking all the wrath and anger that should have been directed at us. I thank you, Father, that you're no longer angry with us for anything we've done, past, present or future. That you love us and you're tender and you're gentle and you carry us, Lord, like a shepherd carries little lambs on his shoulders. Father, come by the power of your Spirit upon your congregation, Lord, from the youngest child to the oldest person listening here today, and reveal yourself to us, Lord. Lord, whether we've been saved 5 minutes or 50 years, Lord, there's always so much more about your love that we need to grasp. And so, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would give each and every one of us a fresh revelation today of your love in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Esther. So this week, one of the things that I'm doing is I'm praying for you, for your breakthrough in your relationship, for that relationship with God to go to a different level, regardless of where you are in your relationship with God, that this will be an open heaven, where heaven touches earth, where you are, and a season of God's amazing favour upon your life as you walk with him. This week, it's interesting because Elim have called 3 days of prayer and fasting, and I'm recording this on Wednesday. This is day two. But I'm just letting you know that this week I'm praying for your breakthrough. I'm praying for this encounter with God for you this week as never before. So we come back to the value of prayer and the importance of our prayer life. And our prayer life will only be as satisfying as the quality of our relationship with God as our loving Heavenly Father. Jesus said, our Father. Because of Jesus, we can experience the closest and most caring of all relationships. This loving God, this connection we have with God, our upward relationship with God, loving God. This relationship, this amazing connection, it enables you and I to experience his love, his power, his blessing, his wisdom, his provision and protection as a child of God because we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. I want to say to you today, if you've not yet given your life to Jesus, if you're listening and you've not yet given your life to Jesus, when I finish speaking today, there is an opportunity for you to give your life to Jesus, to become part of his family, to become a child of God. He loves you just as you are. He accepts you just as you are today. And there's an opportunity for you to do that. When I finish speaking today, you can connect with the host that's on this service if it's live, or you can connect with us at church by emailing us at admin@oasischristiancentre.org.uk. You can see that at the bottom of your screen now. But connect with us. Connect with the host. You can do that by hitting the prayer button, and they'll pray with you today. You can know what it means to be a child of God, to be loved and accepted and part of his family. God loves us not because we are clever or good or successful, but because he is our Father and we are his child through our faith with Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to this carefully. Our Heavenly Father doesn't love us because Jesus died for our sins. No, Jesus died for our sins because God loved us even when we were still in sin, even when we were sinners. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 5 verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Last week I said, worship brings the presence of God. Worship brings the presence of God in every situation, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, as we live a lifestyle of worship, it brings the presence of God. And our prayer life will deepen as we learn to live in God's presence. And we learn to understand and experience firsthand his love, his care, his tenderness and provision for us. Jesus continued with the words, "Hallowed be your name." To hallow means that we hold him in highest regard, that we are in awe of him. And part of our lifestyle, our all-embracing lifestyle, part of our walk with Jesus, part of our walk with God, is having a lifestyle where we cherish him, where we cherish his name, and where we honour God above everybody else or anything else, that he has the highest place in our life. So prayer is absolutely essential if we're going to grow as a disciple and become more like Jesus. Today, Oasis family and those who are travelling with us on our journey, let's focus on making Jesus a priority in our life. He probably is already. But let's develop that so it becomes much more of a priority than he's ever been in our life before. Find a quiet place to walk with God, to pray daily, where you won't be disturbed by other people, where you're not disturbed by things around you. I know that's hard at times, especially if you've got young children and you're having to do so much to help other people, but try and find that time to walk with Jesus. One of the things I do is I use a journal. I write things down in a journal and it reminds me of the things that God has said to me and the things that I've said to God on my journey with him. If you haven't started a journal, I want to encourage you, set up your own journal, daily journal, as you walk with Jesus. Write down the things that God is saying to you. So, we define prayer as an act of worship that glorifies God and reinforces our need for him. We're bringing ourselves before God. We're bringing before him the needs of others. We're being in communion with him always and in all things. So, as I asked you to speak out in your room, wherever you were today, let's develop a deeper lifestyle of prayer. Pray at any time. Pray at all times. A few months ago, we did an 8-week course, an 8-week journey on prayer. And to help us with that, we went through some teaching by Pete Gregg from theprayercourse.org. And the address is on the bottom of this screen now. And I want to encourage you, if you've not done your own study on the Lord's Prayer, this is a great resource for you, and you can use that yourself. There's a full set of notes that I can send you as well if you want to connect with me. We can get those to you. But if you haven't done so already, why not do that right now? Why not start that course this week and enjoy that journey? So I look forward to connecting with you next week as we continue with the value of prayer and we look further into the Lord's Prayer. If you want to connect, it's straightway now. If you're on live now with us, click the prayer button, connect with one of the hosts. They'll help you. They'll pray with you. They'll pray through some of those things if you want that we've talked to today. And if you just want to connect with us as a church, you're not already connecting generally or regularly, then please connect with us. We'd love to have you as part of our family. Thank you and God bless.